Today on Real Radio.
There's no other gathering, there's no other book, there's no other people, there's no religion that can say, look at our prophetic record, but the Bible. Well, this morning we look at a bit of prophecy and that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But in that approach, we're going to be looking at what if. What if Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Yes, he did, but what if this morning you're thinking about it still? What if the jury's out on your heart and in your mind? And if he is risen from the dead, allow me that this morning. If he is, what are you going to do about that?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a presentation that keeps with our theme for what is called Passion Week. The most famous and influential figure in all history entered Jerusalem, squared off with religious authorities, was betrayed by his people, encountered a kangaroo court, and was executed, all fulfilling prophecy. The story doesn't end there. You see, it's been around 2,000 years, and nobody has yet found the body of Jesus of Nazareth. So ask yourself this question: what if Jesus really rose from the dead? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Bible also said that Jesus said that he would be risen from the dead. The prophets that were writing about Jesus Christ coming 1,000 years before said that he would be risen from the dead. This morning, as we consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is something that is debated endlessly. There are people who deny that Jesus rose again from the dead. When you begin to realize that the prophetic word of God that says, in fact, let me paraphrase it. God says, I'm going to tell you this in advance. You watch out for it. And when it happens, you'll know that I'm the God that you should worship. There's no other gathering. There's no other book. There's no other people. There's no religion that can say, look at our prophetic record, but the Bible. Well, this morning we look at a bit of prophecy and that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But in that approach, we're going to be looking at what if. What if Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Yes, he did, but what if this morning you're thinking about it still? What if the jury's out on your heart and in your mind? And if he is risen from the dead, allow me that this morning. If he is, what are you going to do about that? If Jesus Christ rose from the dead and the Bible said, keep your eye on him because he will rise from the dead, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at it. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I would have loved to have seen that happen. And his countenance, that is his face, was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the Roman guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 7, he said to them, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. And behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with great fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren that I go to meet them in Galilee. There they will see me. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's the amazing thing. If you believe in the Bible or not, you got to understand something. Inevitably, you will be confronted with the reality that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You say, well, how can I ever be confronted with that if I don't believe in it? Listen, just because you don't believe in something doesn't mean it's not true. I read this week, a college student was asked by her professor, He said, young lady, is it true that you're a Christian? And the woman answered and said, yes, it is. And he said, how can you believe in all that? And she was curious. And the one young woman asked and said, in what? He said, in the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came from heaven to live a perfect life and to tell mankind about the love of God and the forgiveness of sins and life after death. How can you believe in all that? He demanded. And her response was simple. It's the greatest message that's ever been given to mankind. I believe it. And after all, it's exactly what I need to hear. Isn't that true? That almost sounds too simple, doesn't it? But if you just strip away all the prejudice that you might approach this morning about, think about it. If it's true, is it not the greatest message you've ever heard, that someone beat death? My mom grew up in the Hawaiian Islands. She was pure Portuguese, and she grew up in a very pagan world. Even to the day that she died, my mother rarely ever wore shoes, ever. She spoke pidgin English. I could hardly understand my mom. Little tiny thing, about almost 5 feet tall. Little tiny, tiny thing. But she grew up with all of these strange beliefs and these strange things about, you know, life and death and this or that. And she had been brought up in such a way that all of these challenges were upon her about if this is going on, then if you have this thing in your life, then maybe it means this. And if this is going on, oh, then somebody doesn't like me. And all of these superstitious things, strange things. But as she approached the end of her life, all that stuff began to get whittled away. The stuff that she clung to and the stuff that she thought would bring her identity and meaning. Listen, when you're sick, and I don't wish that upon anybody, but some, look, I hate to bum you out on such a beautiful day. We're all going to pay taxes. Apparently, if you watch the news, we're going to pay a lot more here soon, real quick. But we're all going to pay taxes and we're all going to die. My mom would be driving down the street, and if she knew that there's a cemetery nearby, she would go down some other road and drive all the way around and not even come near a cemetery because she was afraid that if she looked at it, that she might die. She grew up under that kind of paganism. And when she heard the news that Jesus had beat death, she first pushed it away. But 4 weeks before she died, she wound up accepting the message of Jesus Christ. Because when everything comes crashing down and you don't have the money, you don't have the health, you don't have the friends, you don't have the comfort anymore, then what God has to say matters. Every time I'm tucking somebody into their deathbed, they want to hear more about God. They want to hear more from the Bible. They don't want their portfolio. They don't want any money. They want God. Think about that as we go through this message this morning, because we're going to go quick. So I want you to be thinking, number one is this. What if Jesus Christ rose from the dead? If that's true, then that means that there would be absolute hope available for you and I. If it's true, then there's hope available. Can there be hope available that transcends all the stuff that this world can offer and give us a true abiding hope? The answer is yes. And it's a hope that's greater than any sorrow that this world can bring toward us. Sorrow. It's greater than any sorrow. The hope that God gives. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, it put to silence the power of sorrow. Now, don't get me wrong. Do we sorrow? Of course we do. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, it says concerning those who have died believing in Jesus and we're still around, the Bible says, don't sorrow as those who have no hope. For if they believed in God, cheer up. God will bring with him those who've died in Jesus. We're going to meet him again someday. So there is a sorrow, but our sorrow has hope in the midst of it. Maybe this morning, you're not sure where you're at with God, and some big news has come, or trust me, it will come. Life throws everyone a curveball. But how do you handle it? If you go about to handle it in your own strength, you're not going to make it. Now watch this. Please hear me out. Don't be offended by what I'm about to say. Life will throw you a curveball. You will deal with it one way or another. But how you deal with it matters. When Jesus rose from the dead, wouldn't you think the announcement is also made that if he beat death, he can beat even sorrow? Don't you think that he's greater than the challenges that come against our life? See, that's why religion kind of makes me sick, because it doesn't do anything for you. Jesus Christ, the Bible says he's come, he calls us friends. The Bible says he's given us life, and that more abundantly. I don't want to come to the end of some practice and find out that there's nothing there. My friend, in our sorrow, in our difficulties, Christ is there. And so, when that time comes, when that difficulty is there, God is faithful, and he shows us a greater hope, and the hope is greater than any sorrow that this world can levy against us. And that's a very wonderful thing to realize. And maybe for most of us, it's academic, but when the time comes, you'll know. The Bible says, in fact, it's interesting how sorrow, if we don't take it to the Lord and say, God, I'm really tempted here to become very, very down. You know, David, you've read about David in the Bible, King David. The guy was radical. He was a man's man. In fact, he was kind of a woman's man, too. Because David was a weird guy. He was a soldier, greatest general Israeli armies ever had. Nobody would want to fight him because he would just kill him. And you know the story with Goliath, even since he was a young guy, a teenager. He knew how to handle a giant. And I love that story. You guys heard it before, but there's some visitors. Let me tell it again. So, read your Bible carefully. When David and Goliath confronted each other, we've been to the Valley of Elah there in Israel. It's so beautiful. It's kind of like the foothills of Lake Tahoe. It's spectacular. Beautiful pine trees everywhere. And the two enemy camps were opposite each other. It's very tightly together. And then there's that valley right there. And you can talk, by the way, to each hilltop from the valley. David and Goliath go down to meet each other. And David runs toward Goliath, 9 feet, 6 inches tall. You say, that's ridiculous. I know it sounds ridiculous, but they have found spears and breastplates and helmets that translate to 9 feet, 6 inch tall people, the sons of Anak. David's running towards him, running toward him. I don't know if I'd run toward this big giant like that. And the Bible says that David took a stone. Read your Bible carefully. How many stones did he have? He had 5 stones. Why? Goliath had 4 brothers. And their names are written down in the Bible. That's faith, man. David didn't take 5 stones because he might miss. I hope one of these get him. David takes that slingshot and boom, and it hits the Goliath in the head and he falls back. And he doesn't die. He falls down. Then David runs up on his chest, grabs his sword, and begins to cut off his head. Can you imagine this little kid going, oh, man. That's brutal. Then the guy, David, writes psalms, beautiful songs about his feelings. Feelings. Women love to read the psalms because it really expresses what they're feeling down deep inside. Us guys read it and go, you know, what is this? David's expressive. He's a soldier. He wrote to himself in a psalm, why are you so depressed or cast down, soul? Hope in God. That's a powerful thing. Sorrow leads to depression. And when we're depressed, the Bible says, hope in God. That's a powerful victory. Absolute hope is greater than any sorrow. Secondly, certain for today. Absolute hope that's certain for today. When Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, the Bible said he rose again from the grave to never die again. That is a certain hope. That is something that is absolutely sure. The Bible tells us very, very carefully that we as believers have not followed cunningly devised fables. That these things that are fantastic are things that are true. And the Bible says Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And it can be certain, that hope. Because Jesus lives, I can trust in the Bible. You have to admit, Jesus came on the scene and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to heaven, to the Father, but through me. And I wonder if people said, cuckoo. I wonder if people said, that's nuts. Who does he think he is? No matter what Jesus said, if you believe in me, even if you die, you will live forever. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe in him, you'll not perish, but have everlasting life. That's radical. And you say, well, that's insane. You know what? You can say anything you want, have any kind of opinion you want, but on the third day he rose from the dead. Now you got to back up and say, now what was it again he said? He said those things. He also said, if you'll come to him, he will never turn you away. I'm so glad about that. You can have an absolute certain hope today. This is not some fairy tale that 2 billion people today acknowledged around the world. Also, it would mean that if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, there's an absolute hope, and that absolute hope is beyond this earthly life. And I'm very happy about that. What Jesus said and did for us is beyond this life. It benefits us now, that's true, but it goes beyond that. It's greater than that. The message, when you pick up your Bible and you read your Bible, the scriptures make it very clear, and it's God's word from heaven to us, tells us how to get to heaven, tells us what we're made of and what it's all about, what he's done for us. It's all here. But the Bible announces to us that Jesus Christ came that we might be with him in heaven forever. Jesus said in John 14, when he left, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You say, well, Jack, that's only for those people who believe in all this stuff, that there's even life after death. No, there is life after death. Well, how do you know? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. I bury people. I know it's not a great thing to talk about today on the day of resurrection, but that's one of the things I do. I marry them and bury them. And weddings are okay. They're too stressful, though. Too uptight weddings are. They're hard to do. Funerals, they're my favorite. You know why? First of all, I've had people walk out on weddings. No one's ever walked out on a funeral. There's too much respect going on at a funeral. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And the body of the dead guy's laying there. And it's fun to be able to tell them, this is not Uncle John. And they all, does somebody not tell him who he was? No, this is not Uncle John. This is Uncle John's body, but according to the Bible, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is not Uncle John. This looks like Uncle John, and I understand that you relate to this body based upon Uncle John's biological, mechanical machine like we do right now with each other. I recognize you. You recognize me. It's based upon the identity of our body, but what's on the inside? What's the part that writes poems, that sings, that has logic and reason? There's not a part in your brain that has this little box of the spiritual aspect of who you are. There is a spirit that animates your very body. Think beyond the material. When Uncle John is laying here, the Bible says Uncle John is long gone. It's like a tortoise in the middle of the desert. And when that tortoise dies, what remains? Only the shell. The turtle's gone. Uncle John is gone. He's with the Lord in heaven if he trusted Jesus Christ. But we begin to think that this is all there is to life. This is not all there is to life. There's a life to be lived with God. And Jesus said, I want to take you there. And you can be certain about that, and it's beyond all that, and it's something that God has provided. John chapter 14, verse 6, and John 10, 27 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Then Jesus went on to say, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Isn't that an awesome statement? My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. And he says, by the way, I give them eternal life. The word give, by the way, it's the same word that a father gives to his child. And I mean in the truest sense. When a father loves his kid so much, he says, I want you to have this. Well, Daddy, how much do I have to mow? How many times do I have to mow the lawn to have this? No mowing the lawn for this. Well, do I have to take out the trash? No taking out the trash for this. This is a gift, 100% from me to you, because I love you. That's exactly the word that God wrote when he called us to accept his gift of salvation. He gave us eternal life. Well, Lord, how much do I have to tithe to have eternal life? Zip. Well, how many children's ministry sessions do I need to go through? None. Although we do need help in children's ministry, always. That's why it came to my mind, I guess. Do you know what it's like, though, for Jesus to say about you that my sheep know my voice and they follow me? Do you know, can you say today that you're following Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say that? I don't want you to say it now, but in your heart, can you say, I follow Jesus Christ? I don't care if you're a corporate executive. I don't care if you're unemployed. I don't care how rich or how poor, how tall, what color. It doesn't matter. Are you following Jesus Christ? Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, they follow me. Wow. Point two this morning is this. It would mean that there's absolute purpose. Now, I love this because purpose is everything. Purpose, fulfillment, meaning, why am I alive? You can buy books at Barnes & Noble. Why am I living? What's the reason for life? It's a great question. I just hope the guy's writing the book gets the answer. God made you. He is your designer. He's the great engineer. He's your creator. And here's the truth. Absolute purpose means, concerning this, absolute purpose, first of all, to your past. To your past. Yes, it's now, and yes, it's future, but first the past. Listen, God gives you and I absolute purpose. Now watch this. You and I can run around all this world on this resurrection day, and we can do the normal thing. The normal thing that we've all fallen for. If we just have three of these, a dozen of those, one of those, if we have this zip code or that address, if we've got this status or this, you know, six or seven figure income, if we're doing these things, then I'm going to have purpose. And if anyone has ever had those things, they come to the conclusion, that's not the answer. I don't have it. And then they pursue the next thing. And then if they keep pursuing the next thing by ignoring the obvious thing, they wind up getting involved in the silliest, goofiest things. Jesus said it this way, what will it profit a man if he gains the entire world and loses his own soul? But concerning our past, you might say, well, listen, I don't want to talk about my past. I don't want to talk about my past either. But I don't want to talk about my past because according to the Bible, God said, I have forgotten your past. Because when I came to Jesus Christ, God says that my sins are forgiven and he will no longer remember my past. I wish I could say that. I remember my past. I hate my past. But God doesn't remember my past. I don't want to remember my past. You say, well, that's why I'm not a Christian, because of my past. This guy hurt me. That church burnt me. This person said this or that happened to me. I was abused as a child. I was neglected. All these things are true. But wait a minute. You guys, Jesus Christ, one of his titles also is Redeemer. He takes broken stuff and fixes it. In fact, he makes the broken stuff better. A friend of mine had this gnarly surgery on his heart. He was about ready to blow a vessel there. And they went in there and they put this mesh, and maybe some of you know about this mesh. They put this mesh around it and they strengthened it. And the doctor, and this is true, said, well, one thing's for sure. He may blow a gasket somewhere else, but it'll never blow a gasket right here. Why? Because the doctors went in and strengthened that thing that was weak. So strong that the rest of his body is not that strong. Jesus Christ comes along and he says, listen to me. I will take your past, all the things that in your mind have been a notch against you, that you think this is why your life is the way that it is, or this is why you can't achieve this, or go there, or do this. And God says, listen, this is what I do. I redeem things. He is the great physician, the great surgeon, and he takes your life and my life from our days gone by, and he says, I'm going to take all of your failure and all of your fear and all of your sin and pain and hurt and all the things that were done against you, and I'm going to convert them into strength in your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation, the title of which is quite the compelling question. What if Jesus really rose from the dead? Now, this is part of a series we're presenting this week here on Real Radio because this is that time of year that followers of Jesus celebrate and recognize the primary mission of the Messiah of Israel's first coming and what he demonstrated and accomplished according to prophetic scripture. We'll continue with the remainder of this presentation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, or call us at 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, declare that He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.